going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
NFL draft's like a holiday around here. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We love it. We live for it. And it's finally here. And even in a draft, Perl, that's people are saying no superstars, no Robert De Niro's, as Diana Rossini told us earlier. It still has plenty of intrigue because we have no idea where Shedeur Sanders is going. We have no idea if he's going to drop out of the first round. And Travis Hunter is one of the most electrifying draft prospects that we've seen in quite some time. So we're excited. Let's waste no time, though, and get to our next guest, who is an award-winning sports writer and journalist and television personality and has been in more war rooms than most GMs in the league, and that is the one and only Peter King. Peter, thanks for doing this. How many war rooms did you sit in all those years doing working for Sports Illustrated? How many do you think?
11. And Maggie, that became sort of my forte over the years, that I'm not really into going to the draft. I went to the draft a few times, but it's so homogenized. There's not a lot of individual stuff you can do. So, I used to pride myself in finding a war room. And in 2016, Jerry Jones, you have time for a quick story?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. In 2016, it was the Ezekiel Elliott draft in Dallas. But remember that year where the Dallas Cowboys late in the fourth round luck into Dak Prescott. But after they picked Ezekiel Elliott in the first round, I'm sitting there watching, and it was unbelievable. Stephen Jones gets on the phone, calls 19 different teams trying to move up to get Paxton Lynch later in the first round. And so Jerry is pacing. He's going back and forth. Come on, we got to do it. And he wanted to sweeten the pot. And everybody else in the room is thinking, geez, Jerry, he's not that good. So anyway, they don't end up getting him. The next day, Jerry says to me, I've overpaid for everything that's great in my life. And we should have overpaid and moved up and gotten Paxton Lynch. He was angry, really angry. And so just goes to show you, sometimes the best deals are the ones you don't make.
Paxton Lynch probably coaching high school somewhere. Yeah. I don't even know where he is. Sorry, go ahead, Carl.
What are the ground rules when you're in that war room? Do they say you're allowed to say this or not that? What are you allowed to report?
Well, it varies. Some people just say, hey, say whatever you want. But one time with one team, I won't name it, I made a deal. I said, hey, listen, you have 3 off the records in the course of the next 7 hours. You got 3 off the records. Everything else, I can't have everything being struck from the record. And at the end of the night, I looked at the GM and the coach and I said, well, what can I say? What's your 3 off the records? And they go, we don't have a single one. So sometimes, look, there are sometimes that I've heard things in there that I haven't written out of respect to the team allowing me in. Like, oh, F this guy. Or those, you know, they reneged on a deal. F them. You know, and you know, if I put that in, there's a good chance somebody reads it next year and said, shoot, we say that kind of stuff in our draft room all the time. You know, so we're not going to let this guy in.
Yeah. Also, you could do all this reporting and be there and get all this cool stuff, and the headline's going to be so-and-so MF'd so-and-so. And that's like, yes, the one thing that gets exactly out of the whole column. Exactly. Peter King is joining us, award-winning journalist and NFL writer and TV personality. And on draft day, who else would you want to talk to? You know, Peter, I'm fascinated by this. Perloff and I don't agree on a lot of what's around Tom Brady, about being a decision maker with the Las Vegas Raiders. Perloff's like, he's not grinding film. He's not looking at tape at North Dakota left tackles. I think he is, because I think he's really competitive, and I think he likes this team building thing. You know Brady well. You've spent time with him. What do you think his MO is like as a front office person and talent evaluator?
I would be shocked if he's not watching tape. You know, he's just not... He is not going to go into something like this in a half-assed way. And I'm not saying he's looking at every guy, but I will guarantee you that he's looked at 8 or 10 games of the running back from Boise State, of all the quarterbacks. Because obviously, look, I mean, the Raiders are kidding themselves if they think that Geno Smith's their quarterback for the next 6 or 8 years. He is probably the definition of a stopgap, no matter how much money they gave him. So Tom Brady is looking at tape. Now, is he looking at left tackles? Is he looking at, you know, I don't know, yeah. But I will guarantee you he's looking at some tape. Absolutely.
Do you think he's in the war room for the Raiders the whole time?
I would bet he'd be there, you know, at least for the first 2 days.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me if he was in there all 3 days. I mean, Saturday is a long, long process. Now, it could be that Brady says, hey, I really like the quarterback from Louisville. I want to get him. And sitting there in the draft room, maybe this guy is available, you know, at the start of round 4. And he says, we got to go get this guy. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be doing with him.
Well, but Peter, what have your relationship been like with Deion Sanders over the years? Now, Shador is the story of the draft. I imagine you probably have gotten to know him over the years. So, well, we've been arguing, is Deion a lot to bring in the building if you draft Shador Sanders? If you're a team that's going to draft him, are you a coach that's worried I'm going to have Deion Sanders over my shoulder because he's got such an outsized personality?
It's a good question. Yeah. Look, every year that Shador Sanders has ever played the sport of football, his coach has been his father. So it's probably unrealistic to think that wherever he goes, he's not going to be around at all. You know, if you're Deion, you have to be thinking, okay, I just got to walk away. I got to stop being the helicopter dad. But I don't know what he's going to do. I knew Deion quite well when he was a player. I mean, one of my most vivid memories is meeting him in a hotel room in Pittsburgh in 1992 in August, when he was in the throes of that decision, whether he's going to be a corner for the Falcons, a left fielder for the Braves, or some combination of both. And he was tormented by it. And so, you know, and we ended up doing a cover of Deion with a half in a Braves hat, half in a Falcons helmet, and his face there. It was perfect, done by SI. So I've known him pretty well over the years, but I don't really have any idea what his role is going to be going forward.
Peter King is joining us, of course, award-winning journalist and football writer and TV personality, and was in 11 different war rooms over his career, which is so cool and something that football fans would only dream of, Peter. And, you know, you definitely know the Giants well. This is, you know, one of the places, along with Cincinnati, where you really, you know, kind of catapulted your career into a totally different stratosphere. Knowing the Maras, kind of knowing the way the Giants operate, do you think the Deion part scares them off at all? Because listen, they brought Eli Manning in, moved heaven and earth, and he had a very famous father, not the same personality as Deion, you know, Archie, but still, they never shied away. In fact, that was a positive for Eli Manning.
Yeah, I think that obviously John Mara is desperate to get his quarterback of the future. It seems like that probably isn't Shedeur Sanders. And obviously there's a lot of buzz about them trying to move up to look to the lower first round. And if you really believe in Jackson Dart or whoever you really believe in, then you have to be aggressive to try to go get him. There's no doubt about it. And my feeling is that Joe Schoen will be aggressive to try to go get him. Joe Schoen and Brian Daboll have an expiration date on themselves. They know it. They know the way the league works. But as far as knowing what they're going to do, I don't know. George Young's not the general manager anymore, and Bill Parcells isn't the coach. So I don't exactly have a lot of lines into the building the way I used to. But the one thing I do know is that, you know, John Mara, who's going to be like his father, and his father was extremely involved in the process. He didn't tell George Young or Bill Parcells what to do at all, but they knew from his outsized presence what he wanted them to do.
Peter, I know as a fact that you don't follow this, but you know that people get graded on their mock drafts now. And when your mock draft, your last mock draft dropped, it was an important thing. Can you just tell the story? And is it true that Dr. Z, our good friend Paul Zimmerman, the late Paul Zimmerman, had a perfect mock draft one year?
No, I don't think that's true. I think he had a really – one year he had a really good mock draft.
2000.
Where he hit on, I don't know, like 11 or 12. I remember – one year, a long time ago, when general managers would actually confide in you instead of trying to smoke screen you. I remember one year where it was the Troy Aikman year. I got the first 9 picks correct.
Wow.
And I think probably Zim had a couple of those. But Andrew, it's changed. It's changed massively that people just hide. I think it started when Mike Shanahan, the year he picked Jay Cutler, was that what, 2006? It really started in earnest then, because Mike Shanahan didn't tell Pat Bowlen, the owner of the team, until that morning what they were doing. And Jay Cutler, sitting there in Nashville, had 10 hats ready to put him on, one of those 10 hats, and he did not have a Denver Broncos cap on. He was utterly, absolutely shocked when they picked him. But Shanahan knew which way the wind was blowing, in that, you know, there's no reason for people, even in your own building, to know what you're doing once you've decided. You, one guy, has decided what you're going to do. So I don't think you should get mad at anybody. The thing, Andrew, over the years that I shake my head at, and I always fought when I was editor of the MMQB from 2013 to 2018, is the proliferation of mock drafts. Do a mock draft in April. You know, stop the silly exercise. You know, the absolute total clickbait crapola of doing mock drafts the previous November, when A, you don't know who's coming out, and B, you have no idea what the draft order is.
Peter King is joining us. Talk to Perloff about that. He'll pull this car over to the side of the road to rate a mock draft in December. But Peter, just a couple more for you. And again, thanks for doing this with us. This is fun to talk to you on draft day, because it's so important for so many people. This is just exciting. Travis Hunter, I mean, even you're just talking about Deion and being the two-sport athlete. This isn't exactly the same, but, you know, shades of playing both sides and both ways. Looks like the Browns, you know, are right there, if you follow the betting markets at least. What do you expect from Travis Hunter? And, you know, the Browns to me are such a wild card because, to be honest, they don't get the benefit of the doubt from me of being a great organization that's going to handle this correctly. How do you view it?
Well, ever since they went far overboard in what they did to get Deshaun Watson, You're absolutely right. Nobody at that time should have let Sean Watson in the building for a deal like that. I can understand you letting Deshaun Watson in the building, but paying him a fully guaranteed contract, which was the only way, let's face it, that Cleveland was going to get him. He didn't want to go to Cleveland. I mean, Deshaun Watson, if he writes his memoir or whatever, if somebody does one day, he'll say in there, that's the last team I wanted to go to. But at the end of the day, they offered him the most guaranteed money, so it becomes a no-brainer. But ever since then, they've been absolutely in the wilderness about quarterbacks and really about everything else. This is, to me, the perfect pick for them. The only thing is, I would just say this, and I know that everybody is going to say, man, you can't do that in pro football. Why? Why can't you do that? You know how great a football player Chuck Bednarik was, you know, back in the late 50s and 60s? He would play every snap of the game. And, you know, I don't think there's a reason why you can't do this. And I'm not saying that every game you play every snap, sometimes you're going to get nicked up and all that stuff. But I think they should do what Travis Hunter wants. I think he should play as much as possible on both sides of the ball.
Peter, why are there teams that just struggle for so many years? Is there a common ingredient that you ever found teams like Cleveland that have struggled really for 25 years now? Why is it certain teams just can't get out of the basement or always picking the top 10, it seems like?
Desperation. You can't run a football team based on desperation. Look at the Baltimore Ravens. Look at their history of almost always letting franchise type players walk. You know, Terrell Suggs, you know, comes to mind. We could think of 15 of them. And the reason that they do that is they say, okay, we'll take the short-term pain for the potential long-term gain. Because for most of these guys who we let go, they're so good that we're going to get a third or fourth round draft pick in return. We trust our scouting process. And especially when you have a quarterback, you can afford to be patient. You know, and I think the key to football is right now, get the quarterback and then exhibit all kinds of patience. That's what Eric DaCosta and the Ravens do.
Peter, last one from me. And again, this is awesome to talk with you on the day of the draft. You know, I always loved in your training camp columns, you know, you always made Latrobe, Pennsylvania seem like Rome or Paris or something, you know, for football fans like us. Latrobe and the Steelers training camp always held like a special mystique. You know the Steelers well. Do you think Aaron Rodgers would be a fit in that organization?
Well, the way I look at it is, Maggie, the Pittsburgh Steelers, maybe if Mike Tomlin goes 6-11 this year, maybe they're not going to let him go. But at some point, you know, after 8 straight years of not winning a playoff game, at some point, you know, you're a professional organization aiming to go to the Super Bowl. And right now, as much as they might want to hold their nose to do it, the best way to do that is by taking a chance and bringing in a 41-year-old quarterback. I mean, what would you rather do? Would you rather bring in a 41-year-old quarterback? Maybe they think that you give Shedeur Sanders the job on opening day and let's go, which I would understand. But I think that you saw enough in Aaron Rodgers last year that you would think, especially with DK Metcalf there, he'd have a chance to succeed. Now, it's no lock, it's no guarantee, but I'm just saying, what gives the Pittsburgh Steelers the best chance to win this year? Aaron Rodgers, a rookie quarterback, Mason Rudolph. I mean, it to me, it's pretty obvious, unless you're convinced that Shedeur Sanders can take the job opening day and go.
Peter, be honest, are you going to watch more NFL draft tonight or more Major League Baseball?
I don't know what games are on tonight, but I'll definitely, I love day one of the draft, except Maggie, you know, last year I knew everybody. This year, I don't know who half these guys are because I haven't studied it at all. I certainly won't watch Friday or Saturday. But the draft is fun. And, you know, look, can I just say one last thing quickly?
Yeah.
It's interesting. 10 years ago, I thought the NFL was making a terrible mistake in traveling the draft. Mm-hmm. Remember, they have the draft in 2014 at Radio City, and then they say Radio City is undergoing repairs, you know, renovations. So we got to move the draft at least for the next 2 years. So a lot of people were saying, go to Barclays Center, go to Madison Square Garden, stay in New York. I was among them. And then you see what the draft has become. Mm. And it is just so great for fans. It's so great for football. Maggie, the first draft that I ever covered, I wasn't in New York. There was 125 people in a hotel ballroom in Midtown Manhattan. Yep. And this week in the little city of Green Bay, there's going to be 300,000 or 400,000 people. It's just cool. Yeah. And, you know, the NFL criticize them for a lot of things. Roger Goodell criticized them for a lot of things, but they deserve the praise for moving the draft around.
I saw a quote from Pete Rozelle in 1979 saying, why are you going to put the draft on TV? No one's going to watch that. So I don't know if it was, I think it was more by accident that they tripped into this great event.
I don't think it was by accident. I think they knew that that by moving the draft and moving it around, it would become even more of a tentpole event for the league in the off season, and it has.
No, I meant by Rozelle. I don't think they knew that it would be a great TV product back 50 years ago.
No way. But also, you know, after the 83 draft, the Marino Elway draft, the next year, honestly, ESPN left the draft in the second round. You know what they went to? A tractor pull. And I'm telling you that the big thing about the draft is the exposure, you know, the Mel Kiperization of the draft. And, you know, it's just a cool thing to have seen it grown up like this.
Peter, enjoy it tonight. Have fun watching. And again, appreciate you doing this. Peter King, always love to pick your brain. And again, thank you. Talk soon.
Thanks, Peter.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
So fun. Man, all 11 war rooms he was in, including Cowboys. I mean, all those
amazing
years.
And I think it was interesting. When I was at SI, some people said, well, why don't you send the reporters to the draft? And Peter was very adamant. He's like, that is the real action is in the field. And
absolutely.
He was absolutely right. He always had the best stories.
No doubt. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're asking you, how much do you think the Deion Sanders of it all is impacting Shador's supposed drop? Now it's possible he's not even going in the first round, which is crazy considering what we thought only a couple weeks ago. All right, Maggie and Perloff, don't move.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. What a great show. Lots of draft info. It's so fun to talk to Peter King. Back in the day, I used to edit his mock drafts. And I got to tell you, when Peter King put something in a mock draft, that meant he heard it from a GM. It was funny. He was complaining about too early. I disagree with that. Well, I can't wait till Monday to see the next year's mock draft. I'm all about that. We already know the Cam Ward's going number one. Tell me where Cade Klubnik's going to go. And then you got my attention, the Clemson quarterback.
Now you're back in.
But I do think, by the way, teams, you're hearing a lot about that. Teams are looking at next 2 years and be like, it's not just, I disagreed with Nick Costos, You Better You Bet, earlier in the show. If you draft Jackson Dart now, that means you are not going to necessarily be in next year's draft. There's an opportunity cost. If it's not a great quarterback class and you're like, well, you got to take a quarterback, that means you're not going to get a shot next year. And I think that could be a mistake. I think it could burn you.
Yeah, Nick was saying that if he was a GM, he would just take constant, throw 100 darts up against the wall, 100 Jackson darts up against the wall.
That's good.
I get it, but you're right. Like, if you take Jackson Dart this year, if you're the Giants, and you got to give a rookie a little time to develop, right, before you draft someone else right behind him. And is that a good way to build a team?
Well, there was a big report that the Steelers are infatuated with the next two quarterback classes, and that's why they might not take Shedeur Sanders, which would explain some things.
Right. I think it was Jeremy Fowler who had that one from ESPN, that they're kind of they're looking at the 2026 draft and thinking, do we get our person there? But you know what? Then you ratchet up the necessity, I would say, for either Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins, right? Unless you feel like you can go into the season with Mason Rudolph. But I thought that Peter said something kind of like pretty interesting. He's like, can Mike Tomlin hasn't won a playoff game in 8 years now? At some point, does that begin to build?
Yeah, right. We had that debate. Does he have a lifetime contract? But this Jeremy Fowler report puts a longer time frame on it where they might be willing to sacrifice this year. I actually heard rebuild, not from Peter, but what if they sacrifice this year and go 4-13? That's what they need to do. They need a top 10 pick, finally. It's been 40 years. I made that up. What was Big Ben? 2004. And they were at 11 that year, I think. 11 or 12 where they got Ben. It's been forever. He hasn't had a losing season. Yeah, he doesn't even know what they are.
And Ben was coming out of Miami of Ohio. I know that he was, it's not like they were picking the, UCLA quarterback. Like,
he should have gone one in that draft, by the way. It's a hot take. He's better than Eli. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Yeah. Rivers, yeah. But the only reason he didn't was because he's from Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. 888-710-4ISN. Really cool. If you missed our interview with Peter King, if you missed our interview with Diana Russini, if you missed our interview with Nick Costos, it's all available for you on the free Odyssey app. You can hit the rewind function or the Maggie and Perloff podcast, which is great. All right, we got to play some audio for you because I can't tell if this is one of the best things I've ever heard or one of the worst. I love it when teams get kind of superstitious a little or when they find a gimmick, Perloff, and it works, and so they keep going back to it. So the LA Kings had this local harmonica group perform the national anthem in game one. Well, what happened? You guys remember how crazy that was, right? They end up winning the game even though they blew a 4-goal lead, and then they won anyway. So game two, they brought back the harmonica people. I ask you when you listen to this, are these people actually good at playing the harmonica or bad at playing the harmonica? You be the judge. Now the singing's kind of drowning it out a little bit, but, you know, beyond Bob Dylan, I don't really know too much about the harmonica. Is that considered good or bad?
I'd keep asking the wrong person. I'm not sure.
Bogish?
I mean, was that the direct feed from the harmonica or just somebody in the stands recording them?
Oh, you think it was an audio issue?
It seemed a little off key at some point, though.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that supposedly good? Because when someone sings, we know whether it's
right.
Good or bad. Harmonica, I don't know.
And like, you know, John Popper plays the harmonica,
yeah.
And Eddie Vedder every once in a while too, but it's usually like over guitars and drums.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
there's supporting sounds around them. They're not harmonica.
Mick Jagger.
Solos. You know, the bigger story of this, I don't know if you're going to mention this, but this group originally declined game two for rest. They were load managing. And this was a fairly last minute decision to actually come in and do game two.
We have audio of this.
Apparently they were playing hardball, but they worked out a deal before puck drop. They got there for game two, another six burger. So this has to continue at home if you're the LA Kings.
That's Paul Bissonnette, who was a guest on this show only a week ago. Apparently Paul very into the harmonicas. We have more from him.
It was fabulous. I watched it in real time and I was like, okay, not sure if exactly that's how you fire up a squad before a playoff game. But then when you saw the clips of the live version and how much the crowd was into it, I'm like, this is what you needed.
They can't decline. First of all, the series is going to go back to Edmonton, so they're going to have a little bit of time to get their lungs back or whatever, their legs under them. I don't know what you would say.
Me neither, because it's
got to be lungs. Yeah.
Yeah, your lungs back in.
Yeah.
What is the harmonica that labor intensive that you can't take the day off between games one and two?
Also, do you have to practice? You're playing the same song.
Here's the issue with the people that are playing the harmonica. That's actually a senior citizen center located in Koreatown in LA. So, I mean, you know.
So they're old.
They're a little bit older, so they need a little bit more time to get oxygen in the lungs.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I mean, maybe you're being ageist, but I guess you're not because of what Paul said. But here's the thing. There's like eight of them up there. You know, it's like a choir of harmonicas. I'm doing that wrong, but it's not one person has to carry the load here.
I'll answer your original question. This was bad. This was not good. Like because I feel like I've seen like harmonicas just out there on Atlantic Avenue or you know in Jamaica Avenue in Queens. People just like a homeless guy just going ham on the harmonica. I'm like, this guy's kind of dope. I gotta give him a dollar. Like it sounded way better than that because harmonicas, you can do some really cool stuff with it. Like we were in New Orleans for Super Bowl. You walk down Bourbon Street, you'll see people on the harmonica doing amazing things. I mean, look, God bless old people, but my nana would say. But I mean, that was mid.
How dare you guys talk down on the harmonica class from the Koreatown Senior and Community Center? How dare you guys?
I love Koreatown, by the way, in LA.
But cool they're not even professional harmonica players.
Nah, these are just a bunch of old dudes at their house.
They're killing time before you know what.
Just picked up a hop.
Hey, okay. Wait a minute.
All right.
I'm glad they're out here doing something, but I got to be honest. Like, you're in now. You can't do this. It's professional sports or sports in general. Once you get wrapped into some kind of playoff run, you can't be derelict in your duty. Ask Sister Jean. You think she could have just all of a sudden decided, I don't want to go show up at a Loyola game?
She can't do that.
No,
this is
not on them. This is on the Kings. Like just like any NHL team or hockey or football team or basketball team, you can't rely on old vets to carry you to the Stanley Cup.
No.
You need young people.
How about this? I've got an idea. It's LA. It's the Kings. They've got money. They've got prestige. They've got celebrity fans. You bring back the, what are they called? The senior center from K-Town?
That's the harmonica class from the Koreatown Senior and Community Center.
Get John Popper or whatever from Blues Traveler or whoever is now the great harmonica player of our generation and have him or her stand up there and lead them and let's go, Kings.
The best harmonica player of this generation might be Paul Bissonnette because at the end of that clip, he took out a harmonica and started playing that thing. Not very well, but he started to play it.
Well, he's got his rooting interests with the Toronto Maple Leafs, so he can't cross over.
That's true. That's true as well.
But it's a good idea. I didn't know that he played the harmonica. We'll talk about that with him
next
time.
I don't think he plays the harmonica. I think he just pulled one out and just started blowing into
he owns a harmonica. Well, there's nothing. I think of all the instruments, if you don't know how to play them well and you try anyway, harmonica's up there is most annoying, as I'm realizing.
But the flip side, it kind of feels easy to make an acceptable noise on the harmonica. Maybe not a song that people know, but like, I don't know, like you can't just pick up and play the guitar.
It's supposed to play, don't eat it.
But I could do that. And that's good enough.
You play the spoons next.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Yeah, that was Biz.
That was Biz. Oh, wow. Okay, he's not that bad. He's good.
Get a little tambourine and away we go.
How much free time does that guy have?
A lot.
I feel like he didn't have much until you just played that. Bogus has headlines for us. What's up?
Well, this isn't weird at all. Kristaps Porzingis took a Goga Bitadze elbow to the forehead in the third quarter in Boston last night. Lay on the court with blood rolling down his head, got up, left the floor for a minute, came back to shoot free throws, and then got five stitches. It's exactly how head coach Joe Mazzulla would draw it up.
I do. I love watching him. I like watching him bleed on the court. I think it's important. And then he comes back in and does his job.
I like watching him bleed as if it happens often.
Is this guy on some kind of FBI watch list at this point? I mean, I think he should be. Celtics head coach, champion head coach Joe Mazzulla. I'm a little worried about the search history now. Liking to watch people bleed, especially your own players who are going to be paramount and you repeating as champ.
He brings a football mentality to basketball. It's great.
I don't think there's a football coach who wants to watch their player bleeding out.
Of course they do. That's part of the process. I actually, I said earlier, nobody repeats in the NBA. This kind of craziness might just get the job done. I mean, honestly, you watched that team last night. They didn't seem to even miss Tatum. They're really good.
I know. I think that has a little something to do with the Magic. The blood was streaming down his head. The fact that he liked that or even pretends to like that shows that he's a psycho, which is why Manny played the psycho music.
No.
He's a psycho.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't taste it.
Remember John Ritchie, our buddy? Every game he would bleed because he's got these gross in his head. It was the awesome. It was like the ultimate football guy move. I think Mazzulla is bringing the right kind of energy. I like that.
He looked like he was about to bleed out, and he had the streaks of blood through his hair.
Thank God. Porzingis has needed to get tougher since the day walking the NFL. Joe Mazzulla is the best thing ever. Yeah, NBA. Yeah.
He stood up for the Patriots next.
I guess in Mazzulla's defense, Porzingis did enjoy it as well.
I love my like WWE moments for sure. It just happens in the game, and you know me, like I always love it.
No one makes me bleed my own blood. Porzingis finished with 20 points, 10 rebounds. Jaylen Brown threw in 36. The Celtics beat the Magic 109-100 without Jason Tatum and his bruised right wrist. That's a 2-0 series. So is Cavs Heat. Cleveland a 121-112 win last night. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland combining for 18 fourth quarter points, 51 for the game. And the Rockets roughed up the Warriors 109-94 in Houston to level that series at 1. Jimmy Butler suffered a pelvic bruise on a nasty fall late first quarter and did not return. Now a quick fast forward to next season. The Knicks and Sixers will play two preseason games in Abu Dhabi in early October.
Ready,
show trip. Show trip.
And
show trip.
While we're speaking of the Knicks, congrats to Jalen Brunson for winning whatever is clutch player of the year yesterday.
Don't be bad. Don't be sad, you sad man. You old sad man.
Make this what make sense. The Dallas Stars have only led for 62 seconds of regulation through three games of the Avalanche, yet they lead the series 2-1.
Mason Marchman on the forehand. Pass. Shot. Score! Score! Tyler Seguin! The Stars have done it!
Tyler Seguin scoring in overtime. Second straight OT win for Dallas. A 2-1 final last night in Denver. Again, for that 2-1 series lead. The Caps held on for a 3-1 home win over Montreal. The Kings ran away from the Oilers. A 6-2 win. Washington and LA have 2-0 series lead. Far from that good hockey, the Rangers have signed GM Chris Drury to a multi-year extension, because they were so good this year and didn't have to fire their head coach.
Andrew Bogus, why'd they do that?
I don't know.
They should have never fired John Davidson.
Because he does what James Dolan wants, so he gets extensions.
I would do whatever James Dolan wants, too, if I got a ticket to the Garden every day.
Maggie, your thoughts?
I'm going to stay far away from that one. Bogus, thank you so much. Guys, I've got something for you. I know that this is really important for draft day, but how about this? Our long national nightmare may possibly be over. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects to the score.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to Maggie and Perloff. All right, draft's here, and I'm excited because there's a guy who I was not that familiar with. I remember watching him a little bit because he's impossible to miss, but he's being given a nickname that I love. Because also what it may represent. His name is Desmond Watson.
He big played, Des.
Yep, real big. He played at the University of Florida. Measurables, 6'6", 464 pounds.
Damn.
He's being called the Tush Push Terminator.
Whoa.
And perhaps our long national nightmare of Perloff's
thank God
team, the Philadelphia Eagles riding the tush push straight to the Super Bowl. Maybe over if we can get more Desmond Watsons in
go
the
bird!
World. Who can come in and blow up the tush push. Now, the odd thing would be is if the Eagles draft him. But anyway, we think he might be a third.
Put that in the universe.
Sorry.
It's going to happen now.
All right. Well, my bad. Looking like a day three pick. Was on that Florida defensive line. 6'6", 464 pounds. The tush push Terminator. Long may he reign.
Well, Howie Roseman went to Florida, but he only drafts Georgia players, so I don't think he's coming to Philadelphia.
Right. I mean, you got to hold tight to those college rivalries. Yeah. Nervous?
About the tush push shopper? No, not at all.
But teams are going to start to adjust. Like, this is what it means. No, you know, is this a guy 464 pounds? That's a heavy playing weight.
There is no adjustment. And this guy, I feel so bad for these guys. They never, ever, ever make it. Remember the kid?
Yeah, Mike Girth is rather large.
Yeah. No, there's no stopping the tush push. In fact, there's no stopping any QB sneak. They all hit at 90%. So it's a silly conversation. Yeah. It's a cute name, though.
I'm trying to think. How heavy was, like, Haloti Ngata? How heavy was Vince
Nada,
Wilfork?
Actually, Ngata, I don't think, was, like, super fat. Vita Vea like is the, way bigger than
I feel
him.
Like Ted Washington was one of, like, the biggest guys I can remember. He obviously, was, like, 370.
Yeah.
Gilbert. So Haloti Ngata, 6'4", 340.
What about Vince Wilfork?
Yeah, Wilfork, Gilbert huge. Brown on the Packers. Remember him?
But Wilfork was fantastic.
Yeah. But there's a kid out of Wisconsin who famously went in the draft, I think, at 480, and he did not work out.
Oh, Wilfork, very light, being listed at 325.
That's just not true.
How big
football
is the
reference, you lie.
Remember Buffalo Bill Sam Adams? He was big.
Yes, yeah. Sam Adams was gigantic.
That was a position. That was a big position, the huge fat guy.
I think that guy's coming back to be the tush push Terminator. If this guy, Desmond Watson, again, 464 pounds, he's not going to be able to play at that. But if he can, if you can have a little success here, this is going to come back in. It's copycat league, bro.
BJ Raji, 337. That's another big dude.
Well, yeah, the Packers are the ones that want to eliminate the tush push, ironically.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that.
Is it the big guy now, DeJuan Jones on Cleveland? He's really, I think he's well over 400. It stinks. I don't even think this is that funny because like these guys are in big trouble.
He benched the 225 36 times.
Yeah.
It's good.
DeJuan Jones is 375.
How about this? This guy, Desmond Watson.
On a light day.
464 and 6 foot six. He ran a 5.9 3.40. That's pretty good for a big dude.
That's horrible. That gotta be the worst. That's terrible, right? Is there anything worse?
Terrible for a wide receiver and a running back, but they're not 464.
5.9 is a bad day for Rich Eisen.
Oh.
Well, I mean, yeah. There's a
he had 25-inch vertical.
How many slower than 6.0 40s are there in the history of the combine? Probably a handful. Maggie, you ran a 6.0.
Rich Eisen's fastest time, by the way, is 5.97.
Hey,
I did run a sub 6.
Yeah,
there it is. Mm-hmm.
He did run it in a suit, as he always does.
Mm. I ran it barefoot, which is a mistake.
Yeah,
yeah, that sounds like an awful idea.
Retrospect. Anyway, Tush Push Terminator, wishing you good luck, buddy. Big Dez.
What's his name again?
Desmond Watson from the University of Florida.
Sure.
There you go.
Yeah, there's only one possible Tush Push Terminator. His name is Roger Goodell. So we'll see what he does.
Yeah.
So what do you got? What do you guys want to see tonight? Is it going to be boring? Is it going to be exciting?
Yeah, I'm going to be watching the New York Knicks.
Oh, God. Oh. Well, that'll be a rock fight, those two teams, right?
I think the question is about Shador. I've told you guys I'll buy everybody breakfast if he is past 21 with the Steelers. Oh. So I'm glad I didn't blow my whole allotment for the week, because now it's looking like I probably will be wrong about that, but I'm holding out hope. I think Shador's going to go top 21.
Burrito, please.
So he's still
fresh
minus
OJ.
He's don't worry, EJ. We'll get your OJ. But the thing is he's still minus 750 to go in the first round, according to DraftKings. I mean, that's incredibly juiced odds. So
I would update those odds. I'm curious if that's not falling as the morning goes on and the reports come out.
What about you?
I have compiled, there are three mock drafts I love. And you know, you probably can predict who they are. Peter Schrager,
I know you love.
ESPN, Daniel Jeremiah, who we had on yesterday, was awesome. And Josh Norris, formerly of Roto World, who's now at Underdog Fantasy. I combined them. I'll give you the top 10 real fast.
Go ahead.
This is not me, really. Cam Ward, 1, done, right? Travis Hunter, 2, done. Abdul Carter is already looking at real estate in New York. Will Campbell seems like 4, despite his little tiny arms. He can barely even pick up a glass of water. Ashton Jeanty, 5. Are we buying that? Jacksonville?
I guess.
I feel like that's happening.
Yeah.
I got Membu to the Raiders at 6. Sorry, EJ. I know you want him.
Damn it. Ooh.
7, the other tackle who's super hot. Banks out of Texas, right, to the Jets. Jalen Walker, 8 to the Panthers. Peter Schrager had the Saints taking Mikel Williams, a defensive player. And then that means Mason Graham falls to the Bears. It does feel like I've looked at these mock drafts. It's all tackles and guards. It's not going to be sexy.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fine, and you can't get that every year. But as you know, it's funny, as someone who does this for a living, yeah, you want quarterbacks and wide receivers and all that stuff. But as someone who loves football, I love it when my team takes an offensive lineman. I love it when my team takes a defensive lineman, because I know that's going to ultimately be what they need.
Yeah, the Bills, did they go tight end and wide receiver in the last two drafts, by the way?
Yeah, they did.
What about the Cowboys?
That's because they did so well drafting already their linemen and tackles.
I would do show bet. I'm curious. This Cowboys doing something exciting. What was the word? Substantive trade talk?
Yeah, they're having substantive trade talks, which we said, cool story, Jer.
Yeah,
I don't think that's going to happen.
They're walking away with an interior offensive lineman and nothing tomorrow. They're going to be boring because they've been boring for 8 years.
Although, Diane Rossini did say they were looking really closely at Matthew Golden, the wide receiver from Texas. You know, Jerry loves a guy like in the backyard type
He thing. Doesn't, though. He does not get to say. That's the thing. I want them to take Matthew Golden. He's amazing. They just take tackle, 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 guard, 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 tackle. They're going to draft this kid, some guard. I guarantee it. I just think
you can't kill him for it. They're drafting at 12, and you're trying to get your offensive line better. Now, granted, you need to be able to stop the run, but they also have to run the ball. They keep telling us they want to.
You're right. Of course, from a football standpoint, but as a content fan just a football fan, as Daniel Jeremiah said, I remember when Jerry used to be bold. We need that he needs to shake it up tonight. That will deliver.
And back when Jerry used to be bold, we had Peter King on, who, if you missed our interview, podcast, rewind function, it's all there for you in the Odyssey app. They were fighting over who could get to Paxton Lynch fast enough. Yeah. I mean, John Elway was the one who took passes to Paxton Lynch. It didn't work out. And that ended up being a blessing in disguise. They got Dak Prescott in the fourth.
No, I mean, the famous one, he wanted Johnny Manziel, and they wouldn't let him, and they took Zach Martin, Hall of Famer. They did get, that was the draft, they got Dak, right? Yes, no, I'm not saying it's a smart. It's not smart to take a guard. I'm just saying, don't you want to see the Cowboys come out of this with a headline, Maggie?
How about this side bet? They show Tom Brady in the war room of the Raiders.
That would make sense.
I think so. EJ Stewart, thank you so much. Manny Rodriguez, thank you. Andrew Bogish, good to have you back. Andrew Kaplan, all over it. Thank you to Diana Rossini, Nick Costos, Peter King, and the Weedos and the Coffee Drinkers. Enjoy the draft.